Oh, in sin I wander, sore and sad, with bleeding heart and aching head, till Jesus came and sweetly said, take your sins away. Oh, so thank God,
for the blood.
Thank God for the blood. Oh,
thank God
for the blood.
For the blood.
Oh, that one
is white.
Oh, and sing, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood that saved me. Oh, one day when I was lost,
He died on the cross.
Oh, I know it was the blood that saved me. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
All right, this time we're going to do our children's march, our missions march and for the children. And just for missions all over the world and all over North America. Amen?
Amen.
Children, are you ready? All right.
Oh, I know it was the blood.
I know it was the blood.
I know it was the blood that saved me.
Oh, one day when I was born,
He died upon the cross. Oh, I know it was the blood that saved me. Listen, oh, the blood prevailed, the blood prevailed. Oh, just like it did in the olden days, no matter what the people say, the blood prevailed, the blood prevailed. Oh, I know the blood prevailed. Sing it with me. Oh, sing, the blood prevailed, the blood prevailed. Oh, just like it did in the olden days, no matter what the people say, the blood prevails, the blood prevails. Oh, I know the blood prevails. Oh, so
thank God
for the blood.
Oh,
thank God
for
the blood. Oh, thank God. Oh, for the blood,
for the blood,
that washed his white hands. Oh, and are you washed in the blood? Oh, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. And are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? So are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you all in the blood?
In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Oh, and are your
garments
spotless? White as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Hallelujah.
We can sing that all day.
Thank you, Lord.
The Lord.
Praise
God
the Lord.
Is absolutely always, every time, all the time, good. Amen.
Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In fact, God is good when we didn't even know God was good. God was good before we even thought about Him being good. Woo!
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. In your Bible, would you turn with me, Romans chapter 3. Verse 23 is where I'd like to begin. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just two verses I'd like to bring you to. Romans 3:23 and also Romans 8, chapter 1. Then I'll let you be seated. Praise the Lord. Feels like it's been a long time since I've stood here. Woo! Great. Well, Wednesday. On a Sunday. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad. thank you for all those that have been praying for us. I know we've had, just seems like one thing after the other. Life's been like a blur going by here lately. But God is still good. Amen. There's never been a time that I didn't know that God is good. Amen. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Very short, simple to understand verse. And also, Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. My topic today is very simple. No condemnation. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We're asking today, Lord, that your presence, Lord, your will, Lord, would be accomplished in this service. I pray that you would quicken my mind and the words I would say. And Lord, let the Holy Ghost, Lord, just be preeminent in this house today. Let it anoint me to say of your will and of your word, and help us, Lord, to receive it. Lord, help me, God, to know it, and help us, Lord, to live it. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. God, have your will be accomplished in us in this house today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. No condemnation. Amen. That's an awesome place to start, because this world is full of condemning things. Amen. By our very nature, by our just being human, by our society that is caught up in its own self, by people in general. Amen. There's all kinds of things going wrong in this world. Amen. But you know, there is something that is absolutely right, and it is Jesus Christ. It is my God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I had mentioned to our sound crew today, when I handed them my list, I may be guilty today of reading a lot of scripture, but if I just get out of the way and just read the word, it would be sufficient for the day. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know that I can have too much Bible in church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me begin again. I'm going to read to continue on this topic from Romans chapter 5, beginning there at verse number 6 down to verse 9 and continuing from there. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. It is through Jesus Christ. Moving down a few verses to verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. That was Adam, by the way. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Picking up again at verse 17 in Romans chapter 5. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, everybody in the human race is a descendant from Adam. Where sin entered humankind in the Garden of Eden. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where much sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I don't have to be discouraged that there's a lot of sin in the world. Amen. Verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I can rest assured that my God has it all under control. Amen. He has already provided the plan. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ. He is our Redeemer. He's our Savior. He's the mighty God. He has made the way for us. Amen. Now, man, on the other hand, us, we, the people of the planet, Earth, we as humans, man left to his own devices, is full of sin. Now, you may ask some, and I've heard some interviews of some people who say, well, I'm not so bad. Well, what do I have to repent for? Or silly things like that. Well, the Bible clearly tells us everybody has a sin problem. All men, all women. Trouble starts when they're just a little child. Sin is universal, incurable, hopeless, and fatal. That's what sin is. Nevertheless, God in His great mercy has provided a perfect remedy. God has made the way for us when we couldn't find the way. When we didn't know how to get out of sin, God had prepared a way. You see, sin's attack on mankind is profound. It's perversive. It is intrusive. It is everywhere. I don't know of any place on earth that you can go where sin can't reach you, where sin won't find you. From the beginning of time, mankind has struggled in vain to avoid sin's influence and bondage. Yet sin cannot be eradicated through simple denial or excuses. Oh, I had a hard time when I was a child. That doesn't make it okay for you to sin. It's not an excuse for your sin. Oh, well, I didn't do anything bad. Well, for one, you're a liar. You know, we could start right there. There's a problem here. A cure is required for sin. Left to our own devices, man is not up to the task of subduing sin. Just say no didn't work very well. It didn't work very well. It was not very successful. A spiritual remedy is necessary to take care of the spiritual disease of sin. because of the mercy of God. He has provided such a beautiful plan of redemption in the Word, in the Bible. He Himself made the way for us. There is a redemption plan that God has given to mankind. It demonstrates the limitless love and the unmerited grace of God Himself. This redemptive grace contains everything, all things that are needed to achieve victory over sin. God has already gave us everything we need to overcome the sin problem. Humanity was desperately in need of a delivering Savior. There was no one that could be found. There was nothing that anyone could do to overcome that sin problem. You see, God provided this need for the answer of sin through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only answer for sin. Amen. I want to talk about the origin of sin. Of course, it brings us back to the Bible. The biblical definition, sin defined in the Bible. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law." So if you're going against, if you do things or live contrary to the Word of God, you are subject to sin. All of mankind. Now don't feel alone. Everybody goes in the same bucket. Everybody starts out in the life of sin. We all have had or are having a sin problem. God loves the sinner. God loves you. He loves me. God loves the sinner. Your sin does not keep God from loving you. But He hates sin. Loves you, hates sin. To commit sin is to exact one's will against God's will. Amen. I want to say that slowly, clearly. I want to let it sink in. If you're doing things against God, it's sin. Sin's beginning, Lucifer had a rebellious word that he, in fact, two words, "I will." We are coming really close to our human nature right here. "I will," Lucifer said in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Let me read there. Isaiah 14, 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven." Pause. "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Can you imagine anybody, anything thinking that? that you're going to make yourself greater than God. It just cannot happen. If you're thinking like that, you are delusional. You have lost your mind. You're not thinking straight. And here's where it becomes really personal to us. It becomes really right down to our own human nature. Now, I know I have a tendency in my own flesh to want to just, kick the door open and go. I can do it, is my nature. Even if I can't, I think I can. And there's a whole bunch of other people, men I think in particular, but there's also women that think so independently, so carnally, that we think we can do it on our own. That I can do it. It doesn't really matter what it is. I can make it. Here's where it gets personal. This is self-glorification. Satan said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. I will sit upon the mount. I will ascend above the heights. I will be like the Most High. It's our carnal nature to pretend that I will. Well, when it comes to sin, you will. You will sin. You will come against God. You will do contrary to His Word. And not knowing is not an excuse. See, there were first sins of the heart. Ezekiel 28, verse 17 talks of this. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. He was the most beautiful angel of all the creation of God. In charge of worship. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings. That they may behold thee. You know what? It happens. It happened to Lucifer. It happens to people. When you think you are so self-sufficient, you can do it all on your own, there is a time that you will be brought down. If not in this life, in judgment. Then there were sins of action. Jesus reinforced this principle. He taught himself. He referenced about our thinking, our thoughts. He talked about our motives. Jesus knows our very nature. Amen. And the results of sin are catastrophic. Sin may have originated with Lucifer, but sin spreads. Sin is contagious. One, even in heaven, in the angels, in the midst of the angels, Lucifer, referred to as the day star, the sun of the morning, he influenced 1/3 of the heavenly host to rebel against God in heaven. Even God's ministering angels were deceived and drawn away by sin. You see, it doesn't matter how comfortable or familiar we are with spiritual things. But the quality of our commitment to God and His purpose is a critical gauge of our walk with the Lord. You see, sin separates man from God. Excuse me, my sinuses are a little acting up. Satan proposed to bring man and woman, or he purposed to bring man and woman under his dominion. He wanted them to sin. He wanted them to fail in trusting God. You see, man was created to commune with God. Satan intended to cause man to sin, to separate him from fellowship with God. Sin separates us from close fellowship with God. Satan planted doubts in Eve's mind concerning the validity of God's word, what God had said. Satan successfully tempted Eve, and she did sin. Eve then influenced Adam, and by him, sin entered into the world, and the consequences of sin have been passed to all of mankind ever since. Sin is a problem. In Romans 5:12, we already read that. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Adam's sin brought guilt and condemnation. At the very instant, while they were in the midst of the sin, they recognized. Adam and Eve realized, and they became shameful because they were naked. Who told you were naked? To them, it had been a natural state of being. It wasn't sinful. It wasn't dirty. It wasn't unclean. And yet, they felt ashamed, and they attempted. Now, this is really funny, and people try to do it yet today. They attempted to hide from God. If you don't come to church, guess what? You're not hiding from God. You don't hide from God by sleeping late on Sunday. That just doesn't work. Well, they tried to hide. We laugh, but they tried to hide from God in the bushes. Oh, the duck, get down. Here he comes. It's almost comical. Man's attempt to hide from God. It seems silly when we point it out. You can't hide from God. Nothing we do is hidden from God. Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. The sin of both Satan and man demanded judgment, divine interaction, curses and exile from the presence of God. Adam is not alone with the sin problem. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, we might think, well, I'm not so bad. Well, you might not be so good either. I know for sure you're not as good as Jesus is. You're just not that good. There is a sin problem in the world, in mankind, in all individuals. There is a battle. Everybody has a battle. Even Christians, even pastors have to battle, fight against sin. The nature of our humanity. The conflict rages between the forces of good and that of evil. There is an inward struggle within our own selves with sin, which man by himself is not able to win. We cannot win this fight without God. You cannot do this on your own. You cannot make it without Jesus the Christ. Paul said that there is a law of the flesh involved in that inward battle in mankind. Romans chapter 7, verse 19 to 21. For the good, this is kind of tricky to read. You have to follow me on the screen there. For the good that I would, I do not. Anybody know to do good? You have good plans. You have good intentions. You have good desires. You really want to do it right. Okay. It doesn't stop there. But the evil which I would not. I don't want to be bad. I don't want to sin. I don't want to be lost. But the evil which I would not, that I do. That's a problem. It's a sin problem. Verse 20. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. We have good desires. We have good intentions. We as people have high aspirations. I really want to do good for my family, for my wife, for my kids, for God. I want to be good. But by nature, you fail. It's our carnality. It's our humanity. If you're walking in the flesh, you're going to reap flesh and sin. Time and again, over and over, the battle is played out in person after person. The individual is conquered and sin is strengthened in its web hold on the soul. The more you get into sin, the more tightly the web is weaved. The more you go out and indulge in the things of the world and of the flesh, you become caught in the web of sin. We are no match for Satan's power and the entanglements that flesh will create. Victory is not possible except that through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the only answer for sin. There is a progression of sin. You don't start out in the deep end of the pool. You start out way down in the low end. You start out with little sins. If there is, I don't know that there is a little sin. Sin is sin. I got to correct myself. I said that wrong. Sin is sin. Little sin, big sin, sin. It's a problem. Man is tempted to commit sin by three categories of man's carnal senses and desires. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the flesh. Our flesh is going to draw us into sin. The lust of the eyes. I don't know. There has never been a day like our day. You can carry around that smartphone in your pocket and you can dial up sin anytime you want. You just carry it around with you. And the pride of life. Amen. James chapter 1 verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the nature of sin. The final outcome of sin is Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But I am so thankful that that verse did not stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you have made the way. You have made a way to be past our own carnal human nature, that the sin problem has, we've been promised victory over sin. You see, the sin problem, the outcome or the progress of sin is worse than natural death. You know, there's some people that think when you die, you just lay in the dirt. No. Sin problem goes beyond the grave. The sin problem goes right on in to eternity. The natural death is not the bad part. The spiritual death. You see, it's eternal. This death means eternal separation from God with no hope of reconciliation. Spiritual death will cause an individual to be lost forever. That's a very serious thought. In fact, it's probably not real popular to be preached from a pulpit. But I got to tell you, there is a sin problem in our world. The Word of God, the Bible declares the literal existence. It's not make-believe. It's not a horrific tale. It's not a horror movie. Hell is real. The Bible describes it. It has, it identifies the purpose. It tells us its intent, who the population of who will go there. It tells us the fact that hell has been expanded. Hell is real. I did not come prepared to do an expose on the horrific place called hell. But it's a real place. There is a remedy. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He wants everyone to be saved. The Word of God declares the literal, tells us there is a hell, but He tells us that there is a remedy for sin. We have a need for a Savior. The way of escape from sin is available through Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way to get to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. It's in Him only. You can't be good enough. You can't donate enough money. You can't be such a good person. You cannot do it on your own. It's in Jesus Christ. Jesus came to redeem man from his sins. He died on a cross at Calvary that he might take our sins upon him. Jesus took upon himself. You see, Jesus was the only flesh that has ever been born without sin. The only one. He was the only one qualified to be the sacrifice for sin. He took upon himself our guilt. Your sin, my sin, and the sin of every generation. In Revelation chapter 13, verse number 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Get this now. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's telling me everybody, even the sinner, are going to worship God. The Bible is absolutely true. The Bible is more accurate than today's newspaper. And it is certainly more accurate than the news feed you got on your smartphone. Some of that stuff ain't true. Be careful what you read, what you believe. But if you're reading in the Bible, you can believe every word, every period, every comma, every exclamation, every single word in the Bible is true. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, if everybody is going to worship God eventually, even the sinner, even those that don't believe in God, they're going to one day worship the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ, you might as well worship him now. You might as well give in and love the Lord today. Worship Jesus while you're alive. Amen. Sin's cure was the Almighty God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That was Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The word, the Bible, tells us how to resolve the sin problem, how to get past our nature, our sin in this world. God in his infinite wisdom manifest, he made himself, he robed his own glory in the flesh and the body of Jesus Christ. God himself walked on earth. He declared as God with the authority and the power of the Almighty, peace be still to the winds. To the dead, come forth. And Lazarus came out of the grave. He healed them by the thousands. He did the miraculous. He showed himself to be the mighty God. He is the Holy One. There has never been anyone like him. There will never be anyone beside him. He alone is the Almighty God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. This verse is talking about Jesus Christ. The precious blood of Jesus Christ now redeems and cleanses all who believe in him and who obey the gospel. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's the answer to the sin problem. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are no longer under sin's condemnation, but we are free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8, verse 1 and 2, there is therefore now no condemnation. Would you say that with me? No condemnation. You can have the answer to the sin problem in your life. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Our spiritual power over sin is not only in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, we can't do it without Him. It's absolutely essential that we have Jesus Christ in our life. But it is also dependent upon our spiritual identification and obedience with His Word. We need to identify our own selves with His death, with His burial, and with His resurrection. What Jesus did for us. Acts chapter 2, verse 37, it tells us about, it asks a question that everybody should ask. Now when they heard this, they were talking about Jesus, how that He was crucified for us. They were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? If you agree, if you realize, if you will admit there is a sin problem, then what shall we do? That should be the next natural question. If there is a sin problem, what do we do about it? The next verse gives the answer. It hangs on our wall right behind me. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, God tells us that there is a sin problem. He then gives us the answer to the problem. Don't you like tests where they give you the answer? If you just look at the answer, you can answer the problem. Some people don't want to hear the answer. Some people don't even want to look at the answer. They don't want to hear what the answer is. They're not interested in the answer. They think they have the answer already. Well, the only answer for sin is right there. The answer for sin is to repent. That's really simple. It's turning around. Repenting is 180. I'm walking this way. When I turn, repent! They would, Buckingham Palace, they would yell, repent! And the soldier would turn around and walk the other direction. It's turning around. You got to quit thinking you have all the answers, and you got to trust Jesus Christ to be your answer. When you turn around, when you repent, when you trust God, then it says, repent, that's not it. Oh, I trust in Jesus as my Savior. I confess that He is the Lord God Almighty. You know, that's a great start. It's really, absolutely, positively necessary. You have to repent. You got to turn around and ask God to forgive you. That's repentance. But repentance isn't the end. Repent and be baptized. Tells us what to do in that brown box right there. It's a horse trough full of water. Oh, the heater's not plugged in. It's cold water. It's room temperature water, which ain't too bad. It's about 80 degrees in here. So if you can take 80 degree water, you could be baptized and have your sins. It tells us it's to be baptized, and it tells us what being baptized does, how important baptism is for the remission of sins. You see, that's a critical part that a whole lot of our world doesn't quite understand. You know, Jesus Christ does love everybody, but he wants you to obey and overcome the sin problem by his word. Repent and be baptized. Tells us why, for the remission. The only remission is payment, okay? If I remit my payment on my house, or if I remit my car payment, or, you know, you paid the debt. Right. Well, Jesus paid the debt for sin. Amen. You can't pay that price. No. It's too high. You're not able to pay the price for sin yourself. Right. Jesus Christ already paid it. And when you repent, you are baptized in the name. It tells us very specifically how. In the name of Jesus Christ. Look, it's on the wall. Right there. And it tells us what to do and how to do it. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It tells us what to do, how to do it, and what he's going to do next. It's an explanation for the problem of sin. Stand with me. Musicians, would you come? Jesus knew the purpose of his coming. He fulfilled everything that needed to be done. And he gave us the answer to sin that we may have no condemnation. You don't have to feel the weight of sin in your life. You can have the assurance that the price has been paid for my sin. I have been set free. I have been delivered. I have been redeemed. He fulfilled by his coming the purpose that we might have life. And that we might have that life more abundantly. The life in Jesus Christ is better than the life you'll have in the world. It's better than the chaos that the world is going to bring you. There is life. There is hope. There is peace. The Savior has come, Jesus Christ. He has given us the cure for sin. Its yoke of bondage is broken by Jesus Christ. He is our hope in the absence of hope in anything else in this world. Jesus is our hope. Yes. I invite you in the closing moments of this service. Would you join me? Would you lift your hands? Would you lift your voice? Would you magnify God? Thank him for the ability to have no condemnation, that he has taken it on himself. He's given us the answer to sin. Would you love him with me? This altar is open. You can talk to God. You can meet him right now. He can meet your need today. Love him with me as we sing.
Hallelujah. Healing is here. Healing is here. Healing is here.
Come and pray. Come and talk to God. Come and magnify
Him. I receive it. Healing. heaven, I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer, I trust in you.
I reach my hand
heaven, I lift my eyes where my help comes from.
I look to you, my rock, my healer,
I trust in you.
Freedom is here. Yes, freedom is here, and I receive it. Oh, freedom is here, freedom is here, freedom.
Healing is here.
my
hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you.
Can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fears. And you are the God of all power. And it is your will that my life be healed. Oh, sickness. Can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed. Oh, sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed.
Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. I'm so thankful for that remedy. Amen. Don't get it. Don't be deceived. Sin is a sickness. Amen. And God can heal every disease. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus. Amen. Is powerful right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so thankful, God. So thankful, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. There is just a wonderful presence of the Lord in this place. There's such a freedom. Such a powerful freedom that we feel in this place through that redemption of God. Amen. That atonement of God. Hallelujah. Let's just acknowledge this right now. Let's lift up our hands and, oh, hallelujah, God. Overwhelm my soul, Lord Jesus. Oh, with your goodness, your love, your mercy, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your salvation, God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, you're good, God. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, so thankful for your great kindness, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. This service has just been something else. From the very start, man, when we first started to pray, amen, God has just been moving powerfully. And I know that this is going to be something that just, you're going to go back and listen to this message again and let God talk to you again. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So good to be here. Amen. God is still moving. So let's be respectful to those that are praying. Amen. And somebody might decide to get baptized. But if you have to go, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. We love you. Amen. It's good to see everybody today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus, we love you, God.